I want to take a little detour this morning from our study in Hebrews. I found a little nugget in the Word of God that I want to share with you. And Paul and I have been looking at it for the last couple of Sundays and have been enjoying it, and told him that I wanted to share it with you as well. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 4. It has to do with the parable of the sower as a sort of setting the groundwork for our thoughts this morning. And it says, "When much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? Notice the Lord said, He that hath ears to hear. The word hath is in the present tense. The word here is in the present tense. And what this simply means is that if you've got ears to hear, this is something that you need to hear all the time. Okay? This is something that you want to hear. I think look at it from that perspective. It's something you want to hear about. One of the things that we found in studying the book of Hebrews is the fact that there is the milk of the Word and the meat of the Word. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, we have reference to the milk of the Word as well as the meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil." The Bible contains milk, and the Bible contains meat, or solid food. The milk is for those that are young in the Lord. Milk is to bring a person to the knowledge of how to be saved. The milk of the Word establishes a person's heart and mind as far as salvation is concerned, that once you have been put into the family of God, there's nothing that can change that. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in the family. The milk of the Word also teaches us that God cares about us, and that He will minister to us and watch out for us and care for us. And we can pray for our daily bread. So and I want to get things mixed up here because I'm going to make a distinction here this morning. But the milk of the Word is for those that are carnal, still having problems with things in their life, to help them to get away from the carnal lifestyle. But the meat of the Word is for those who are mature, who have grown in the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 through 17, we have a reference, I believe, to the milk of the Word. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." The reference to the Holy Scriptures, I believe, has to do with the milk. The Holy Scriptures have been given for all of God's children to have what they need to live their Christian life, if you please. They're able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith. This is actually the salvation that we've been talking about in Hebrews. But I believe that the term, the Holy Scriptures and Scripture, is a reference to the milk of the Word. But in Luke, I'm going back to Luke 8 again, the parable of the sower. In verse 11, it says, now the parable is this. The disciples ask the Lord, what does this parable mean? Now, we're not going to teach the parable this morning, but what I want to do is I want to show you a definition. He says, now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. In other words, the Word of God is defined as the seed. Verse 10 tells us what the seed is. And he said unto, you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. There's a distinction between the Holy Scriptures and the Word of God. The Holy Scriptures have to do with the milk of the Word, but the reference to the Word of God has to do with solid food. Now, let's continue. In Luke chapter 8, verse 21, it says, and he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear, what? The Word of God. And not only do they hear it, they do it. Now these are brethren. Now we've talked about brethren here before. Brethren are not just simply all saved people. Brethren are those who hear the Word of God. They hear the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And they want to hear the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That's the reason why hearing is in the present tense. They want to hear it a lot. And we'll find out in a minute why. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 50, it says, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. A brother is one who wants to do the will of the Father. Why does a brother want to do the will of the Father? Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Who is it that wants to do the will of the Father? A brother. A brother is one who wants to hear the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. A brother is one who wants the meat of the Word, or to hear the Word of God. A brother is one who wants to enter into the kingdom of the heavens. And there's a difference between entering the kingdom of the heavens and seeing the kingdom of the heavens. To enter the kingdom of the heavens is to be involved in the politics and the policies of our Lord as He rules and reigns over this world in the coming kingdom. He's not ruling and reigning today. Don't give God credit for what's been going on, okay? Please. Don't give Him credit for that. The devil's still the judge or the Lord the God of this world. And he is showing His real self. And what he is doing, the evil that's being presented, or that's going on. But a brother who hears the Word of God and does the Word of God is one who wants to enter into the kingdom of the heavens. In Luke chapter 11, verse 28, it says, and he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear, present active, the Word of God, and keep it. Somebody was saying, boy, your mother was sure lucky. That's what she was saying. Your mother was sure lucky to have you as her baby. And the Lord said, no, she wasn't blessed. It's those who want to hear the Word of God. They're the ones who are blessed. That's who's blessed. Now, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, we are told that the meat of the Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's the meat of the Word that's got the power to help us to discern what? That which is good and that which is evil. That's what the discerner of the intents of the heart have to do with. So the meat of the Word is the meat of the Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now it's interesting to see what the deacons and the apostles did in the book of Acts as far as the Word of God is concerned. In Acts chapter 8, we find Philip in Samaria. And it says in Acts chapter 8, verse 5, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." Okay, here's the setting. He preached Christ unto them. Acts chapter 8, verse 12 says, "And when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." Now, preaching Christ is preaching the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. By the way, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are synonymous. They're used interchangeably. Philip was preaching Christ. He was preaching the kingdom of God. In fact, in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, it gives us a little insight what it meant to be the kingdom of God. "To whom also he showed himself," this is the Lord, "and speaking of those of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." And when he got done talking about the kingdom of God, then the natural question is found in verse 6. "And when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" So it has to do with the restoring of the nation of Israel into the kingdom. And of course the Lord says, "It's not for you to know the times and the seasons. That's my business, that's none of your business." The time part of it. Now, in Acts chapter 8, verse 14, it says, "Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received," what? "The Word of God." What is the Word of God? It's the seed. What is the seed? It's the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. And from Acts chapter 8, it had to do with the kingdom of God. So when you see the phrase, the Word of God, it's the meat of the Word and not the milk. In other words, I have done this over and over again. I've always held up this book and said, "This is the Word of God." Well, really, the Word of God is in this book. This is actually the Holy Scriptures. The Word of God deals with something more that's found in these pages. It has to do with the churning of the milk to put the butter fat together. Okay, let's go on. Now, in Acts chapter 10, we find Peter preaching the kingdom of God. Verse 36, it says, "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preach peace by Jesus Christ," He is the Lord of all, "that word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached." And what did John preach? He said, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So what was John preaching? He was preaching the kingdom of God. He was preaching the kingdom of heaven. And here we find Peter, a sort of a duck out of water, a fish out of water. He is nervous. He's in the home of a Gentile, which he boasted about. "I've never been in one before. I've never eaten a ham sandwich. He was a real, true Jew. And the Lord had to straighten him out in a vision. And I don't know why he was down at the house of a tanner. Because what do tanners do? They kill animals. And if you touch a dead animal, you're an unclean Jew. It's kind of mixed up. But anyway, Peter was mixed up for a while. But let's go on. And he said... And he says, as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, sons of the stock of Abraham, whosoever among you feareth God, to you is this word of salvation sent. Now we don't see the word of the kingdom in this passage of Scripture as such. I skipped over a very important verse. I'm sorry. My eyes went down to where Paul was preaching. Peter was preaching in Acts chapter 10. And what I wanted you to see is Acts 11:1. Pardon me, okay? 11:1. And the apostles and the brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received what? The Word of God. The Gentiles. Now this Gentile, Cornelius, was one who feared God. And whose almsgiving was a memorial in heaven. Now I assure you that no lost person has memorials in heaven. Only saved people can have that. Only saved people who think on the things of the Lord have their thoughts recorded. You find that in Malachi. But anyway, the point I want you to get is that what Peter was doing in Cornelius' house was he was preaching the Word of God. Now, Paul also preached the Word of God. In Acts chapter 13, verse 24 and 26, it says, when John was first preached, before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and I'm pointing this out so that you can see that it was the message to the Jews. And the message of the kingdom of the heavens was to Israel only at one time. That, of course, changed in Acts chapter 10. So, this word of the kingdom is preached to men who are brethren that are sons of the stock of Abraham. Verse 26. And its message is also to all those who fear God. This is not, you don't instill the fear of God in a lost person and then preach at him. This message is to those who fear God, who respect Him. And, of course, this salvation here is the salvation of the soul, or the salvation of one's life in the coming kingdom. Now, verse 44. It says, and the next Sabbath day came also the whole city together to hear the Word of God. Isn't that interesting? Here Paul has got the whole city coming to hear the Word of God. And something happens. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the Word of God should first have been spoken unto you. That's Israel. And what was the Word of God first spoken to Israel? Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But Paul continues, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of age-lasting or kingdom life, in other words, to rule and reign in the millennial reign of Christ, which is the coming thousand-year reign of Christ, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified what? The Word of God. Now here is, it says the Word of the Lord, but here it is where the word, in the American Standard Version, it's the Word of God. That's what we were looking for this morning, Paul. That verse right there. And as many as were ordained to age-lasting life believed the Word of God. Not, they didn't get saved. They responded to the meat of the Word. Now we see, we're all familiar with the Philippian jailer in Acts 16. He was a Roman soldier. He was the warden of the prison. And any time a warden of a Roman prison lost any prisoners, he would be executed by crucifixion. And so that's the reason why the Philippian jailer had the sword pulled, his sword out. He was going to commit suicide. You would think he was from Japan. You're going to commit Harry Carey. Well, anyway, the Japanese didn't have the edge on that mode of dying. But anyway, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul told him very plainly, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved." And it's in the aorist tense. It means you do it one time, and that's all. Once. And it says in verse, and he says, "And thou shalt be saved in thy house." Anybody in your house can believe on the Lord Jesus and be saved. This is the only place in the Bible where saved is in the question and saved is in the answer. Now, verse 32. "And they spake unto him the word of God." This is very interesting. I bought a 27th edition of Nestle's text this week out at Fourth Baptist Church or at the seminary. The 27th edition of the Nestle text has the word Lord in it. The one I bought back in 1963 has the word God in it. They switched it. Why, I don't know. I guess they preferred it that way. But it's the word of God Paul spoke to the Philippian jailer. What was he talking about in verse 16, Acts 16, 30 and 31? He was talking about milk. He was talking about milk. Get saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus. Then Paul began to preach unto him what? The meat. He preached unto him the Word of God. And to all that were saved, that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized. Notice that baptism is the natural thing that follows receiving the mysteries of the kingdom of God. When Philip was teaching and teaching the Ethiopian eunuch out of Isaiah 53, he came to water and he said, the Ethiopian eunuch said, "Here's plenty of water. I think we can do a baptismal service right here." And Philip says, "You can be baptized if you believe." Present tense, not aorist, present tense. Continuous action. If you believe in continuous action that Jesus is the Son of God, you can be. And when we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, what are we believing? That He is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Because it is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. All you got to do is just read Hebrews chapter 5. And it'll tell you that just as plain as day. And it says, "And he and all his straightway were baptized." In other words, they all received the word of the kingdom. Boy, I tell you, that was an exciting time for Paul. Paul here is teaching meat of the word, and they're just scoffing it up. Wonderful. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we have another reference to the Word of God. And it says, as you know, how in chapter 2, verse 11 through 13, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his what? His kingdom. This is not calling you to get saved. This is calling saved people to rule and reign with Christ. That's what that means. Because you don't have to walk worthy to get saved. Jesus paid for that. You have to walk worthy to rule and reign. You live like a drunk, and you will not rule and reign with Christ. You live in sin, you can just forget the honor and glory that could have been yours in the coming kingdom. Now, he has called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received what? The word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, the meat of the word, which effectually worketh also in you that believe, in the present tense. The Word of God only works for those who are faithful. The Word of God doesn't work for those who can't make up their mind whether to follow God or not. The Word of God does not work in the hearts of those who are really not interested in walking worthy of the Lord. Costs too much. I lose friends that I don't want to lose. I have to do without sometimes and trust God to take care of me. I may be sick and can't get well and still have to trust God that this is a perfect plan. You know, there was a time when Job, I'm sure Job says, I probably will never get well. But he trusted Job, and he never accused God falsely over the problem he had. Now, what did Paul want to do? He wanted to come to Thessalonica to help them in what area? 1 Thessalonians 3:10. Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. He wanted to perfect their faith. Now, Hebrews 10:17 tells us how this works. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Amen. You know what? Every Sunday I am trying to build up your faith. You know why? Because that's what I'm teaching in this place. I am teaching the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Why? I want your faith to be built up, because I know that if your faith is built up, you will be pleasing to whom? To God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So faith cometh by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the meat of the Word. Hearing the Word of the Kingdom. Hearing the mysteries of the Kingdom of Heaven. That's how faith is built up. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, we have a reference to the Word of God. When it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed. But of the incorruptible seed. Which is what? The Word of God. Well, what is the seed? It's the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. And we are begotten again. See this word, born again? It's not the same word that you find in John 3:3, where it says, except a man be born from again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is a different word. It has a little prefix in front of it. Ana, meaning again. And ganao means birth. Begotten again. A new beginning. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are born from above. That's the first beginning. That's what happened to the Philippian jailer. He had a first beginning in verse 16 and 30 and 31. In Acts 16:32, he had a new beginning. He was begotten again by the word of the kingdom, the seed, the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, there's something very interesting that tells us there are those who are corrupting this truth. In verse 17, it says, "For we are not as the rest." The word "many" is not the proper word. It's the rest that are perishing. Verses 15 and 16. I'm going to have you to take your Bibles, and I think we have time. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I didn't think I had enough. I didn't have enough room in the notes to put all of this in your notes, and so I'm going to just have us turn there because this is significant. In verse 15. Paul says, "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ." And what is the message of Christ? The kingdom. We are a sweet savor of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. In them that are being saved. That's a present passive participle. That means a process of salvation. This is not the salvation that the Philippian jailer experienced in 16, 30, and 31. This is the process that started in 32 with the Philippian jailer, that he might be, that it would be the salvation of his soul or life in the coming kingdom. And it says, he's a sweet savor in them that are being saved and in them that are perishing, present active, that is, losing this life in the coming kingdom. To the one we are the savor of death unto death. This is demotion unto demotion. This is Thanatos death. And to the other, the savor of life unto life. This is life for the coming kingdom. One who is perishing, we are a savor of death unto death. They don't like me to be around. That's what Paul is saying. They don't want me. And then he says, "Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not of the rest which corrupt the word of God." Who are the rest here? The rest are those who are perishing. That's the point I want you to get. The rest are the remainder are those that are perishing. What happens? They hear the word of the kingdom and they don't like it and they begin to corrupt it. They corrupt the word of God. They change it. And so that's what can happen. That's what happens. That's all I can tell you. Now, going back to 1 Peter again, talking about those that are begotten again. This begetting again, by the word anaganao is only found two places in the New Testament. And they're both in 1 Peter chapter 1. We looked at 1 Peter 1:23 first, and the other place that is found is in 1 Peter 1 verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again." Anaganao. "Unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." When God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, He made Him whom? Our high priest. After what? The order of Melchizedek. Notice that it says, "The Father hath begotten us again." What does that mean? He had to have begotten us before we have been begotten again. And for Him to have begotten us before meant that He put us in the family. That's Acts 16, 30 and 31. And then he begot us again, Acts 16:32, when we received and embraced the Word of God, the meat of the Word. And this begotten again is a living hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. Which is the mystery that had been hidden from Gentiles. If you read verse 27, you'll see that. Now, there's a warning that goes with embracing and coming into the knowledge of the Word of God, the meat of the Word. And you find that in Hebrews chapter 6. We've been there before. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, have tasted the heavenly gift. This is the gift of the Holy Ghost, the sealing of the Holy Ghost for the heavenly kingdom, and are made partakers of the ministry of the Holy Ghost. That's not the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. It's partaking of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And what is His ministry today? His ministry is a teaching ministry. His ministry is an exhorting ministry. He is beside us, exhorting us. What He hears from the Father and the Son, He teaches us. And you know what? It's not meat anytime. It's meat in due season. You know, you don't get the meat of the Word anytime you want it. You have to be in there churning it. And then all of a sudden, the chunk of meat hits you right between the eyes. That's what happened when I was having my devotions in the book of Acts. A piece of meat hit me between my eyes. And you know what that meat was? The Word of God. What is the Word of God? It's the Word of the Kingdom. And so, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is a teaching ministry. And it says, and have tasted the good, what? Word of God. You've tasted the meat of the Word, and then you turn around and forsake it, it's impossible to bring you back. That's what this verse is dealing with. A lot of people want to apply this to salvation. This isn't anything to do with salvation at all. You got to be saved to do this. And you're not losing your salvation. There's a lot of people who think you can lose your salvation, but that's just simply foreign to the Word of God. Excuse me, to the Scriptures. And it's foreign to the Word of God too, for that matter. But anyway, let's go on. Have tasted the good Word of God and the powers of what? The age coming. What age is coming? The kingdom age. Ruling and reigning age. If they shall fall away, to renew them again into repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. They murder their high priest, Melchizedek. That's what crucifying the Son of God is. Who is the Son of God? Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 5. And crucifixion, Jesus was innocent, and Pilate and the Jews murdered Him. And so, we sure don't want to murder your high priest. He is the one that's going between God and you. And you sure don't want to put Him out of action in your life. You've got to have Him if you expect to be a victorious child of God. Now, one thing that I want to encourage you to do is I'd like you to remember me, okay? Because that's what Hebrews chapter 13:7 says. Remember them that have rule over you. That is, who lead you. Not that I'm ruling over anyone here. I'm just the one that's in charge as a senior elder. Paul's an elder. We're here to lead. Who have spoken unto you what? The Word of God. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their life. Let me tell you, I'm interested in ruling and reigning with Christ. I'm interested in standing approved in His presence when I stand there. And that's what I want the end of my conversation to produce. And I believe this truth. I have faith in this. God has allowed me to put substance to this truth. And this morning I am demonstrating the evidence of it by preaching to you the Word of God, the meat of the Word. And I hope that your faith will increase every time you come. Because if your faith increases, you can rest assured that you're going to stand in His presence approved. And you will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and enter into the joy of the Lord. Shall we look to the Lord in a closing word of prayer? Father, we just thank You for the precious truths of Your Word that just help us to see how wonderful You have woven the butterfat in the milk. And those who will spend some time listening to You and receiving what You have for us, Lord, are blessed. And we just thank You, Father, for those blessings. We do pray, Lord, that You'd bless the ministry of Your Word to each of our hearts today. And may our faith increase. For it is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.